Okay. Romans 1. But before we do, I just want to share a few things ahead of time, I guess. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that Lord, I ask for your leading and that you would settle my heart before you. Lord, that you would open up our ears so that we could hear your sweet voice. Lord, I ask that you would just speak to us, that you would open up your word. Lord, your word's open. Lord, open up our heart to receive your word. That we might know you more. And we just thank you for this time and praise you in Jesus' name. So I will share this, that this is the, I'm going to be looking at Romans 1, 5, 6. But I want to share a few things because I think, at least for me, because I need your help today. I think we need each other's help. And one of the things is I have a way I read the Word of God. I have a belief in my system that God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that He's still speaking. He says today. So as I read the Word, good men of God might not have directed maybe exactly the way I should have heard, but they gave me the importance of searching the Scriptures because they're the most important thing for you. So I got saved, but I didn't go to church for a long time because I wouldn't go to church. So that I heard and was being taught and sharing, but I got a hunger for the Word of God. He gave me that hunger, I believe. And the reason, as we go through His Word, and we all know these verses, but I just want to bring them up. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." So what I've found to be true in my 28 years so far as walking with the Lord is as I open up His Word, He's speaking. And His Word's still speaking today the same as it did since God said, "Let there be." And in that, He uses His Word to direct us, right? To correct us for the instructions of righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it seems like as He speaks, His Word is there for us to know Him. Most importantly, to know Him. So when I read the Word, I'm coming to it with an open ear, asking God to speak to me where I am today. And I believe He does that. I believe that as I'm reading through, whether it's my regular reading plan, or studying to share, or the devotions I'm reading, I believe the Lord is speaking. And many times, it's not that I don't hear. Because it's not the things that we don't understand that are troubling, but many times the simple truths of Scripture can be the most penetrating for me. So when I read verses, I'm hearing and asking, "Lord, speak to me," If I want to be like Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And believe me, I don't get this right all the time. Many times I fail, I continue, but I'm going to trust him. I say these things because I believe as I read the Word of God, he wants to move me. I know you guys, and he wants to move all of us. And he wants to bring us and unite us into same truths. But when I come to this verse, I read this about a month ago, and it shook me. Not really shook me, it just gave me light. He lit this verse to me a little bit more. I've read it before. I'm sure we've all read Romans before. I read about four commentaries for about 5 minutes each, and none of them had anything to say about the one word that struck me. So I'm like, well, that didn't help any. Not good or bad, everything has its time. But my desire, I just want to point that out there. So when I'm reading and I see things, I'll share them. Because I believe that's the way the Lord is directing me. And since I'm up here, I'm going to just share what the Lord lays on my heart. And if he directs you, awesome. If it's me, forget it. If it's him, take it. And allow him to make it life to yourself. So I'd like to read, I might want to get in the right book. I just want to read Romans 1:1-6, Just 1:1-6. 1:1-6, please.
Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, the power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ.
Any questions? Any thoughts? Okay. Now, quiet, yes. Because how it speaks to you is important. How you hear it, what's for you, what's not. Isn't that what it says in the scriptures? Of like cut and discern flesh, spirit, joints and marrow. So I wanted to look at what Paul's saying here and then actually ask, is he really saying what's written? At least as I see it. Paul, a bondservant. Anybody know what a bondservant is?
Willing slave.
Simply put, correct. Willing, one who's willing to, the term is really an under rower, like in the ship. The ones under the ship making it row during the storm. We don't have that today, so you kind of missed out on that. So you have one working underground. But it's a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The to be there is in italics, supposed to be for a helpful rendering of the reading, but it simply reads Paul called an apostle. And it's very important what that means, because in that calling, it's a separation. He's separated to the gospel of God. So I think it's very important to look at Paul in light of what he's saying here, because I believe I'm just going to come out and say, verse 5 is teaching that we all have an apostleship. If I'm reading the scriptures right. And I know that that's different than a lot of people have taught. I'm not saying that it's an apostle. The big A, there's only one big A apostle, and that's Jesus Christ, our Savior. But just like Jesus sent from the Father, just like the disciples sent by Jesus, I believe that each of us are sent as well. But how we go is important. the way we go. So Paul says he's separated to the gospel of God. It's very important to read that Paul did not say that you're separated for the gospel. First and foremost, to understand, it's a separation unto the gospel. What is the gospel? Okay. These are questions. What is the gospel? Paul's being separated to the gospel. What does that mean to you? Can you say that I've been separated to the gospel? And what does that mean when it practically plays out in life? Not for, but to.
Maybe that you're separated because you believe that God died for your sins and that He rose again, and that Jesus is the truth. You're separated to the truth of who Jesus is.
Okay. Because all, like, every answer everyone gives can help build upon, but no matter what it means to you, that's what the gospel means to you.
It's sanctification, as I remember.
Well, separated is sanctification. So you're being set apart unto, which means you're being taken away from.
Put into the gospel.
To the gospel.
Right.
The good news.
Right.
That Christ came.
Right.
He is our Savior. We're separated unto Christ. That's the good news. That we have a loving Heavenly Father and Son and Spirit that made this plan for us. To redeem us, to purchase us, and to separate us unto Himself. It's good news. I don't really think we act like it a lot of times. I think we walk in fear and frustration and our eyes are fixed on the world. I'm speaking to myself. But he's been separated in the gospel of God, which he promised through his prophets and holy scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who has been born of the seed of David according to flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Okay, we're going to get to where I want to be. And I say this because I believe we, 2,000 years later, have the same callings. We have the same potential to walk with Jesus. We might not be on the 12 gates, and we might not do all these other, but the same truths are there for us to walk in so that we can enjoy the gospel. All of us are separated to the gospel. All of you, when Christ came, has separated you from your sins as you believed on Him, right? And brought you to Himself. And I hope you find it to be good news. But what he says here, what Paul says here, first you guys can answer a question. Through Him we receive grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nations for His name. Is Paul speaking of himself in this verse? Or is he speaking of to those who he's writing to?
If you talk about verse 5.
Verse 5. Okay. Through him, Jesus, we've received grace and apostleship for a purpose, for obedience to the faith among all nations. Is Paul speaking of himself, or is he speaking to everyone he's writing to? Okay. Yay, we agree? So we agree that this is for the hearer.
Yes.
Okay. So what does he say? We've received grace. What does that mean? What does it mean that you've received grace?
We've all been given a gift.
Okay, you've gotten something, you've been given something. You've received. Past tense, we have received.
Carol said, unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. What's that mean?
Undeserved.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything. Can't be earned.
Great. Ephesians 1, I think, gives us a really good definition. Ephesians 1:7. When it speaks of grace. And this is just a glimpse of it, a little bit of it. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So, receive it. Right? Because we have received it, I have to hold on to that. And because of that, and then there's another part to the verse, right? The apostleship. You've received grace and you've received an apostleship. If these verses are to me and to you and to everyone, it's saying that it's already done. Which means you've received grace. We all love that, right? Thank you, Jesus. And part of that grace is an apostleship. Part of the receiving of grace is something you unmeritedly received, unmerited favor from God, is He's actually saying, I'm going to give you something to say. I'm not only allowing you to be a receiver of my goodness, but I'm sending you. An apostle is one who is sent. That's it. It's not any magical term. It's no different than an ambassador for Christ. It's no different. You've been bought with the price, correct? I think the scripture teaches us that you're not of this world. Does it? And you're not of your own. Right? You've been set for a reason. You've been saved with a purpose. You've received to give. I think these are scriptural truths that we can all agree on. What do you have that you haven't received? And why, if you've received it, why do you act as if it's yours? And, you know, you have these same truths throughout. But all God is saying is, I've given you an apostleship. I'm sending you out with what I've given you. Which we also read in Ephesians, that it's all things in life that pertain to life and godliness in Him. But He's given us something for obedience. And I find that that's very wonderful. Because as a father, if I had expectations of a child and didn't tell them my expectations, it's kind of hard to see them walk in obedience. But if I simply just speak in the Word and tell you, because I know what's good for you and best for you, then I can share with you what I want, right? Jesus says, you are my friends if I tell you the things that are about to happen, correct? Or you are no longer my servants, but you're my friends because I've told you what's getting ready to happen. His main concern is they're saying, I consider you a friend because I'm letting you know what's going on. And now I want you to respond to what you've received, right? And that's kind of the gist of the whole character. So God has wants to put us in a place that I receive His grace and it flows through me and pours out. What I've received from the Lord, that which I give to you. Same terms as Paul. Jesus said in John 17:17, He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You see, God speaks many ways. We're told in Romans right after here that heaven's declared the glory of God. And the truth of God is not, it's not that it's not out there. It actually says that God has made every person aware because He's shown it to them. And it's in them. The truth of who He is. But we have to come to the Word of God, I believe, to find His character, His heart, and to know that what we understand of God is true. I think that's why He left us His word, so that we could know Him more clearly. And so as we go through here, we see the consistency of God from Adam all the way up until even today, that He wants us to go. What did He say to Adam and Eve? Picking your brains. Killing all the world and subdue it. And have dominion in it. And multiply. Sounds like going, not staying. What did He say to the disciples before His death?
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Okay, that was after. But that's okay. But he did send the 12 out, then he sent 70 out. Right?
Right.
But then after his resurrection, it's the same thing. Do you know that there's at least three times Jesus showed up to his disciples in a room or a place where they're not walking by faith, that they're in fear, doubting because of the threats of the people? Jesus told them, hey, when this happens, go to Galilee. Where is it? He found them in a room at the tomb. It wasn't until the end of John that you see them in Galilee. And what they do? What they go do? Fish. And Jesus had to fish for them on the shore. God is constantly telling people, I'm giving you my word. I'm sending you my grace so that I can fill you and send you to walk it out. But that's not on your own. It's a life that Jesus walked. It's a life that Jesus created, and it's a life that Jesus wants to live through you. You see, we said the gospel is really, we look at Jesus, right? It's the greatest gift, right? And if I'm willing to receive Christ and walk in the reality of all of who Christ is, which we can only do by the Lord, then it's going to be looking a lot like what his life looked like. I would think. And that should be where God is sending us out to minister to the lost, the dying, and the needy. I know this sounds like a pressure thing, but it's not. It's a beautiful thing. Because what that apostleship is only saying is only what God has shown you. Whether it's for you to walk it out, or it's to share to walk it out. But if you're a receiver of God's grace and the Lord's just touching your heart, I would think you would have joy. And I think the Lord wants you to take your joy and share it with someone else, because we're in a world of joylessness. And we live in a dark world. I think we've all said that. Look at the news. How many good stories were on last night's news? How many bad? All. It's easier to count them that way, right? Zero and all, right? Well, the only thing that helps darkness is light. The only way you get rid of darkness is the light of the glorious gospel. The good news I've received, I take and share with those who need it. And what this says is, it says the apostleship has a purpose. You being a receiver and a sender, being a sent one, one that's going forth with the things you've received, has a purpose. And it actually says it's for obedience. It's better to obey than sacrifice. I mean, I think it's really cool that the Father is sitting there and is loving enough to say, if you're walking this, this is what obedience looks like. Am I off? And there's even a greater purpose, because it's not only for your obedience, and it's a specific obedience. It says to the faith. It doesn't say to a faith, because there's lots of areas where you can exercise your faith, but it's not biblical faith. Right? So there's a way to this to work out, that it brings about obedience to the specific faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Lord. And that's just among all the nations. Input? Thoughts?
Just when you share this, I thought this was really neat, because it says in the report, the word says to be set apart for the gospel of God. And that was the first verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says that is to come out from anything that is contrary to the perfect will of God. To come out from anything that is
Right. For me, the good news is I'm clean and I'm forgiven and I have access to a loving Father and a great Savior. That's what the gospel means to me. I am no longer destined and in death, heading to hell. I mean, the word gospel is just so much. You can just put this in here and say, it's just this, right? It's all of this.
Like your word illuminating that light without darkness, and as we go forth in this world as bearers of his light, then he will dispel that darkness. So, there we go.
Yes, sir.
Scott, when I was studying one time and I come across some, they say that the English word for gospel is derived from two words.
God's spell.
God's spell.
He wants to put you under a spell.
I think that's kind of cool, actually. You should read Romans 5, verse 19, in the light of obedience.
Is he our obedience? But no, never mind.
The thing that jumps out of that verse to me is one man.
5:19.
Yeah.
Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs?
No.
Sorry, I'm in Ephesians. Forgive me. I'm not listening very well. No.
You're fine. You're fine.
5:19.
Yes.
For as man, one man's disobedience, many will be made sinners. Adam. So also many, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That's the good news. It's his righteousness that makes us righteous. Yes.
So obedience.
Correct. So, yes.
It's different than us trying to obey.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. Exactly. He did it before. He's in you. He wants to continue. It isn't me. It isn't you.
I also want to say something. I said this before, but grace is a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Because there's nothing good set apart from Him. And there's no obedience that results in righteousness unless it's that one man's obedience. And that's where we, by faith, trust Him.
To work at and in through us.
His obedience, not our obedience.
Right. That's why it tells us this is for you. Receive it.
Mike brought that out yesterday.
Why didn't you invite me? No. You did, I left. No. I was butchering.
Peter walked on water because he got out of the boat. And so likewise, as what Kent just said, you just said, as we step out into the world, then it's all about him. If we show up, he's in us, and so he shows up.
You said.
No.
Say it.
She thinks I'm saying that we can do whatever we want because he's obedient.
No.
I'm not saying that.
And our obedience in return is like a freedom, really. Just like when our child obeys us, they're safe. But it's when they're rebellious, they really lose their freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trying to do their own.
Yeah, I am not saying this isn't a total work of the Lord, because only the perfect Jesus can live a perfect life, and the only way he can do that is a surrendered will unto him to walk it out through you, and agreeing with God. I mean, there's no way around that, because I can't live a perfect life, but I can entrust myself to the one who has and is and will continue to. And what he's telling me is I'm sending you. It's time to go out. It's time to share. This isn't for me. I do it in different ways, but it's I have to be a receiver first. I have to receive from the Lord. And as I do, and my desire is, I know a lot of people can share. I can share these verses and prove these verses by other verses and manipulate everybody. But it won't be a work of God unless He does a work in us and we receive it from Him. You can pour it. I would say every false religion is 99% true. Right? I just have a little bit of lie in there. And the angel walks around as an angel of light, right? Just trying to deceive. So we can use light. And so when I ask you these things, I'm honest. I'm saying, help me. If I'm wrong in seeing this, you can say it. And I'll take it. But if it's right, will you receive it and take it? And can we walk together in it? And agree with one another. There's a unity in the faith. That the Lord's uniting and knitting us together with a purpose. That we can walk in and proclaim in the loving things that He's doing in our lives individually. It can be with one another. It can be on the street. It can be with our kids, our family. However the Lord does that in your heart and moves you. But I'm telling you, He wants to move in you and through you. I find that it's neat that it's obedience to the faith among all the nations for His name. So to me that just kind of just says that I want you to walk out in a way that you're receiving my grace, you're walking this out, and just let that be among the nations so that they can see what faith's really like. That I can live trusting the Lord. All this is wrapped in that. Because I do think the Lord desires for us to obey. And I think He wants to work that in us as we trust in Him. And I don't have anything else unless anybody else does. It was very heavy on my heart because I think it's something the Lord's been putting on my heart to do more of. And part of that is to get out there. Because when the Lord lights a lamp, He doesn't put it under a basket. And I see this as a basket. That keeps our light hidden because we won't walk out. Actually, this is the basket. Our own will, really, when we choose not to agree and surrender. But a surrendered life to Jesus is, the greatest thing we can do is be Mary. The most important thing is just to sit at His feet. Until He says it's time, get up. Get out of here. Move on. But anyway, any thoughts or questions? Cool. Are we in agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, with that said then, I have a desire to... If people want to get together and they want to go start sharing at any time or times, we can work out some things and go out and start just sharing the grace we've received with people. I know there's a love in here through Jesus that's coming forth from the lives of everyone in here that has knitted our hearts together for where we are, and He wants to continue and move us forward. And it happened. How beautiful it is for God's people to dwell in unity, right? So if we could have one faith, one purpose, walking, seeking the Lord, and allowing the Lord to do what He wants to do, knowing that He wants to not only reach you, but to those He wants to reach around you. And so I think that it's important to have that purpose. And it's fun to go see Jesus work. I know it's... that's just where I'm at. So, anybody have any decisions or thoughts or want to talk about that? We can figure out how we can do that. The Lord wants to do it. So.
There's one cool thing I can share. You know the song that I did, a John Newton song. You asked about that. You know, he had a verse that he... It was actually in his hymnal that he used for that. And I think it's really beautiful. Kind of says where he was coming from because of who he was. He felt so horrible. But anyway, it was David's prayer. And in 1 Chronicles 16, 16, that David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God, but you have spoken to your servant's house for a great while to come and have regarded me according to the standard of man of high degree, O Lord God." He just marveled. Like, he might even felt like, how could I even preach the word, you know, after what I've been? We don't have to be under the weight of anything. We are free. We don't have to be under that weight.
Yes,
we have the
right
weight of our sin and be free, you know, just like Paul, the Apostle Paul is just such a great example.
Like, because I said a couple weeks ago, some people looked at me with, I don't believe God wants us to interact with Him with sin at all, about sin. If Jesus died for all the sins of all the world, of all times, and it's finished, why would I relate to Him on something that's finished? He wants me to interact with Him on the basis of who He says I am now that the work is complete. Not on who I think I was. That man's dead. Right? The old man's crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. But right. Yes.
Yes. I was thinking about this here. What I see here is, and I think we all see, whereas Romans 5:19 on the previous verse again, whereas by one man's obedience, many were made sinners. So, also, by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Okay? So, what I want to say about this is, the disobedience is where we were before we come to Christ. We were living for our own selves, going our own way, doing our own will. Okay? But yet, somebody made a difference, that one man. And what I want to say is, he took us from a life of disobedience. That's considering you're walking in God's will. You're being obedient. He took you from a life of disobedience into a life of obedience because there's a change took place. And yes, but I want to say something. In this little Bible here, I got my own. But this little Bible, the New King James Version, in the pew, and I like what I want to say, these people here, and put this out. And when they wrote it, it's kind of like bigger letters a little bit. But what I want to get at is, it says, by one man's obedience, and when they come across and they wrote M-A-N-S, they made that letter go, they made it fit. They didn't just write it normal. And they wanted to emphasize that it was that man, that one man, okay? And naturally, he made all the difference, okay? Because why? We were once walking in the life of disobedience, that's it, and first man, ourselves. But now we're in Him, we're walking in obedience unto Him. But because, the first cause is that He was obedient. And we notice that if you look at it, He was obedient to the Father in all, always. And this is why He's brought us into with a change, life, where we become obedient to the Lord, which would be obedient to the Father. But His obedience does never lead us to disobedience. Okay? That's obvious. But I think God's calling people to step out and serve Him and go in His name as He did with the disciples and share His message with others. That way they can be changed from a life of disobedience, be saved, and brought into the fold, into a life of obedience. And our part, I've had people telling me, I told them about somebody coming to Christ, and they said, well, you can't save them. You didn't save them. Christ did. I agree with him. My uncle told me that. But the thing of it is, if you go and share with someone and they come to know Christ, God used you if they come to Christ because you told them about the Lord and that's what God wants us to do. God doesn't never, His obedience never leads us to disobey. It only leads us to obey. And He's changing us to bring us and be like Him. So I think He's calling us to confrontation. Confront people one-on-one. Now, don't get me wrong. If you do it in yourself, you're not going to win nobody to Christ. But if you do it in His name, through His power, through His Spirit, He'll come forth. Because I'm going to see, I'll say again, I don't know if I told you before, I want to see my cousin, his daughter. She wasn't saved, and she got in a bad car on her leg, her left femur. And I did too, years before. But I heard about it, and I started thinking about it. I said, that's something that happened to me. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, Lord, prepare her heart to receive before I get there. But I feel led to go talk to her. So I stepped out in obedience. And I got to talking to her. She welcomed me in, and we talked. And I already said, Lord, you've got to prepare her heart. You've got to bring her to yourself. And I'm concerned that she needs to be saved. So I shared with her. I said, I got something like common. I have broken legs just like you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have died. I brought light to the situation. I said, I could have been not saved, but I'm saved. And I want to tell you that it's by the grace of God that you could be saved. And she broke down in tears. I'm telling you right now, because I shared something in common, I used something else to get a point across. But she came to the realization, because I've been praying the Lord would go before me, prepare her home before I got there. God was at work. Because He's seen I stepped out by faith, and she confessed Christ.
And she
cried. I knew she meant it from all her heart.
Even if she didn't.
Yeah.
The outcome doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You're walking with Jesus, and the desire is to see all men saved.
Right.
But some sow, some water,
yeah,
some reap. But God gives the increase.
God gives the increase.
What? Did I miss
the increase.
Right. Huh? I'm sorry.
Hey. But the thing of it is, I've seen a picture just recently. She's shining.
Right.
Something happened to her, buddy. I'm telling you right now, I said, man, hey, the same. She looks way different now when I first talked to her. She was glad this happened. She responded to the gospel, I believe. I believe she really got saved. And she's, set from all her family members there. She was, you can see something happened to her. Because I hadn't seen her before. And I think God's using her as a light. He's the one that's saved. He's the one that's changing people.
Mm-hmm.
But free to receive, free to give. Okay? So we've received the gospel freely. If you receive it freely, free to share. It's a give and take. He shared. He did the Father's will. He shared himself and gave himself. Displayed grace. Act of love.
Yep.
And look what's happened. Many souls in heaven will be there. A lot of people will be there.
Yep.
Because he went forth himself and he was a living example and sharing the gospel because he was slain himself. And he said he shall see them about his soul. He'll see something good there. Get what the verse says. So I think it's good. I just want to say.
Yeah, it's just a light stirring.
You feel led to go, hey, obey the Lord and God bless you.
Trust Him.
You know what I mean? If you don't want to go, then it's up to you. Because every man says before God, let him write it.
Yep.
Something's good enough for him to share.
The Lord meets you where He meets, and that's awesome. Shall we pray? I know it's a little late, sorry. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have not left us here as orphans. And that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. But more importantly, we thank you for your life. And Lord, Father, I just ask that you would lead us, direct us. Lord, show us what even your word means in many ways, and sometimes we don't understand. But Lord, as we know you, we know that you'll make things clear. Lord, we know that we see through a glass dimly. But we're looking forward to that day when we see you face to face. So we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen.